So what draws your attention to that gospel story? Anything pop out to you? Anything? Nothing?
He's short.
He's short. That's right. There's a special song for that. It's kind of a funny story, the Zacchaeus story, to act out with kids. You've got the crowds of people surrounding Jesus, and you have this person who is short in stature, Zacchaeus, he has to climb a tree to find a vantage point, and Jesus actually sees him in that tree. It's a perfect story for a young audience who often hope to be noticed by their heroes. Now, as fun as it is to act this out with kids, it also inspired a camp song. The story of Zacchaeus is not one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Yet, the parishioners of St. Patrick's back in the 60s chose to depict this story in glass and color, as you can see. You can actually see it live. It's in the chapel. Now, the other stories that they chose to memorialize in the windows were the resurrection, and the nativity, and the baptism, and the crucifixion. There was no feeding of the 5,000 and no Good Samaritan, but this story about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. I was wondering why that was. Why did they choose this story, this couple of verses in the Gospel of Luke to share in their windows and not some of the more famous ones? Let's look at this story. Now, as Nicole mentioned, Zacchaeus is short in stature. You can almost see him bouncing along like a cartoon character trying to catch a glimpse of Jesus. But the crowds thwart his efforts. They marginalize him, not only because of his height, but because of his profession. It was not uncommon for tax collectors, particularly the chief tax collector, to be grouped with sinners. And in the first century, tax collectors were considered traitors to the people. They collected taxes for the empire, those powerful people from far-off places who didn't share the common values of those people on the ground. And the tax collectors were expected to shave off a percentage of the taxes for their own livelihood. And they were living right next to these people, that they had to pressure and maybe even threaten for tax payments. So the tax collectors often enjoyed the benefits of wealth at the expense of their reputation. In today's world, that might be the corporate raiders or the guy who recently raised the price of a life-saving pill by 4,000%. It's on the news. These might be modern-day examples of Zacchaeus. It's hard to know, but we often believe that greed is the primary motivator of people who choose professions like this. We paint them in our minds as selfish and lacking in communal morality. But it's hard to know what drove them to choose their profession. Might Zacchaeus have been willing to do anything to support his family? Or maybe he was forced to do it by the military authorities. We like to paint those who live on the shadier side as being personally flawed rather than seeing the slippery slope of the choices that we make. Choices that are closely related to the ones made by those like Zacchaeus, although maybe not at the same scale. It's much easier and much more appealing to see the speck in our neighbor's eye while ignoring the log in our own. Jesus said that. So what can we learn from this story of Zacchaeus? I think there are two things. First, we learn something about Jesus' relationship with those who we like to paint as villains. Last week, the gospel lesson was about the Pharisee who prayed in thanksgiving that he wasn't like the nearby tax collector. Jesus doesn't favor one group of people over another. And if we are going to live into Jesus' example, then we have to stop judging people who don't live up to our ideals. Because more than likely, we don't live up to our ideals either. Even if someone says or does something that challenges our sensibilities, that doesn't exclude them from the love of God and from the love of community. That even includes our politicians. Actually, Jesus would say that loving our enemies is the quality that tests us the most and brings about the greatest benefits for God's kingdom. Second, we learn from Zacchaeus about our priorities. Now, let me unpack this for a second. I mean, Zacchaeus exists on the margins of his world. The people are judging him, just as we judge people. But he gave of his treasure in an extravagant way in order to make the world a better place. It was not required of him. It wasn't a tax or a tribute. He chose to open his heart in generosity because that gift was part of his relationship with God. Now, we just happen to be in the stewardship season right now. I have to say that if everybody gave 50% like Zacchaeus, it'd make a big difference in the ministries that we could offer here at St. Patrick's. What's that? It'd be like manna from heaven. Even a 10%, a tithe, would be extraordinarily impactful for the ministries that we offer and the community we continue to build in God's name right here. Now, we will hear more about giving and the importance of giving to the life of this place in a few minutes. My view is that proportional giving is a byproduct of engagement in the life of a place like St. Patrick's. If you see the benefits of a life lived here, then giving proportionally isn't a burden. It is a blessing. When I was a child, I remember the first time that I realized that my family supported our church. I mean, I had put dollars into the offertory plate as it passed me, and I served as an acolyte, which meant that I received the plate and turned it around to pass it on to the priest. But the first time I understood how the church relied on pledges of the people gathered around on those Sunday mornings was when I saw my dad writing a check for over $1,000, folding it and putting it in the offertory plate. Even though I was under 10 years old, I knew that that was a considerable donation. It was something that he and my mom budgeted because the church was part of their lives. It was the place that they shared their values, supported them through good times and bad, and helped raise their son. We knew everyone's name in that place, and we hung out with these people outside of our worship time. The relationships we built in that place and time are still strong. They're still part of our lives. We pray for each other, we check in, we let people know because they are part of our family. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so much so that he climbed a sycamore tree. But the example he demonstrated, the one that makes this story meaningful, was one of compassion for his community. That may be what inspired St. Patrick's parishioners to depict his story in one of our windows. Community is where God exists between and around us. God is the love that encircles us. And Zacchaeus identified the needs of his neighbors. It wasn't because they had given him anything. Actually, they hadn't given him anything. It was because he loved them deeply and offered what he had to make life better. And Jesus said that love, that love, made him a member of the family of God. So that might be a goal for us. Are we giving from what's left over? Or are we giving in a way that marks our compassion for the spirit that exists in the nature of belonging to community? Are we invested in this place called St. Patrick's? Is this place and the God relationships that exist around us a priority in our lives? Because I believe that investing in that relationship will make a profound difference in each of our lives and in our life together. Be like Zacchaeus. Live into his example and make a difference forever.